Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Fends and dummy half. It's with the halfback, Williams. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyf, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earle, and Earle is in again. Oh, stop it, it's starting to hurt.
Can't hear, mate.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Podcast, proudly brought to you by Pat and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. I'm your host, Tim Williams. Happy Team List Tuesday, part two, the biggest day of the Supercoach season. And I'll tell you what, tough going. There's not a lot of quality cheapies on offer. We've had a few promising ones ripped from beneath our feet. One bloke who seems pretty blasé and unfazed about it, coach of Black Lock and Load, the Spy. Spy, you're pretty happy, mate.
Not worried about obstacles, mate, this year. I've come in hot. Terrell May's flying. Joe Chan's named. Obviously Bellyache was listening to the pod last week and thought, the Spy likes Joe. Why wouldn't I put him in? So it's going my way early. Two games into the season.
Joe Chan, one of the huge winners from Team List Tuesday. Of course, we'll get to all of those shortly. Our next guest, Chairman of the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, official as of a couple of weeks ago. Adam Drusey, welcome back, mate.
Thank you, mate. Good to be here. Yeah. I think Spy's just set the tone for the next hour, so it's Joe Chan calls. There we go.
Now, yeah, it's obviously a great honour, a great role to be chairman of the Doggies, so let's get out of the way early. Mate, after 2 to 3 years on the SC Playbook podcast, working with founder of SC Playbook, would you say I've inspired you into the role, or how's it all come about?
I mean, you are an inspiration, obviously. it's been good. I mean, obviously, I've been a fan of the club for forever, and I've been on the board for the last couple of years, so it's exciting. I mean, I love being on the board. I love being involved. Obviously, taking the chairman role, it's a bit more time commitment, but that's good, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm still working with a good, great group of blokes on the board, so, yeah, really looking forward to the next couple of years. It's going to be great.
I thought, Ads, that for sure, with confirmation of you are moving up in the ranks at the Dogs, that Josh Curran will be starting for the Doggies this weekend. He is not. So there's your first major job at the Dogs, if you can get him going for us.
You don't like Jamin Salmon?
Well, we might.
He's even cheaper.
We might need both.
Yeah, well,
so see what you can
How
do.
How much more do you want? two cheapies at front row. No, look, I must say, it is a bit of a funny one because I have to keep my super coach role separate to my chairman role. So there'll be sometimes things I know that I can't comment on the chat and all that sort of stuff. But just remember, my opinions here are my opinions as a fan, not as
as a footy fan.
Chairman, yeah.
I know, mate. All good. Staying on the Doggies topic, obviously into that role now. What do the next few years look like at the Bulldogs, do you think?
Look, it's exciting. Obviously, we're in a rebuild phase, that classic word. It's challenging. It's not easy to turn a club around from being near the bottom of the ladder to where you want to be very quickly. It's actually really hard. It's not like Supercoach. I mean, Supercoach is great because every year we all get a chance to buy Nathan Cleary and Tom Trbojevic and Caleb Ponga.
They're all off contract.
Yeah, everyone's off contract. And we can all buy the same players, so it's great. And that's not the same in real life. So it's, yeah, you've got to be very careful about who you buy and how much you pay. So the similarities are, you've got a salary cap. You need to think carefully about where you want to spend that money in a salary cap, how much you spend on different players. And sometimes fans see a player and get upset about why you're not signing them, why you're not re-signing them, whereas maybe behind the scenes we know, you know, the cost and maybe the relative cost versus someone else. So that makes a challenge. But come back to your question, I think the opportunity there is how do we kind of build the culture of the club that we want? And Cameron's doing a great job on that. Cameron Cirillo, really thinking about what sort of blokes does he want around to build the future. And if you look at the guys that we've recruited this year, there's a lot of blokes that come from winning teams, and I think they all bring a bit more of a leadership vibe and a culture to teach a lot of the young kids coming through in the system what it's like to be a first grade player, because we think we've got a lot of good young talent, and that's the focus, is invest heavily in youth so that in 3 or 4 years' time you've got a combination of some of the guys there today, and there's opportunities for blokes to come in and, you know, become Bulldogs legends, frankly, and combine with some of those young blokes coming through. So yeah, it's got a good feel to it. The vibe around the team is really good, but from my point of view, it's not a pressure. You know, I don't judge us on where we finish on the ladder this year. Obviously, I want us to do as well as possible, but I judge us on, are we kind of improving and developing as players so that in 2, 3, 4 years, we kind of got sustained success. So, yeah, that's probably the difference in Supercoach. It's like a dynasty team in Supercoach. You've got to make the right long-term decisions. And you've got to think several years out. You've got to think, well, if we sign this player now, is that going to create an issue for us with some young gun coming through? Imagine if you were the Panthers a few years ago and you had Nathan Cleary coming through. Well, you wouldn't have wanted to sign up, I don't know, James Maloney for too long and then lose Nathan.
Well, you look at the Tigers right now with 2 to 3 of the best young halves in the game, but they can only give a few of them a run. And that's why with tying in sort of Aiden Caesar, who's come back as the experienced head in that mix. So it's something like that.
Yeah, and I think the Storm is a great example as well. Like, they've got this young gun, Faelogo at fullback, but they've also got Pappenhausen. What do you do there? You can't pay 2 fullbacks $1 million a year. Like, then you're screwing your salary cap. So those sorts of challenges are interesting. Now, we've got to get to the point where the young kids develop like that. But, yeah, that's all coming up.
You mentioned Penrith, mate. Mm. I just looked them up as you were chatting, and what you're trying to achieve is something similar. They were in that position. So I was having a look at Penrith from, like, 06 onwards. They came 12th, 16th, 12th, 11th. Had a good year, then came 12th, 15th, like no different a position. You look at them now, so that's a 10-year thing. It's not just overnight, as you said. So
yeah, and I spoke a lot to Gus and to Cameron about that period at Penrith and what they did. And basically, they invested heavily in player development.
Yeah,
and now you're looking at the production line out there, but they're not all Penrith juniors. Some of them are from the country, some are from New Zealand. You know, you've got Fisher Harris, New Zealand, Yo from Dubbo, and all of those sorts of places. They've just got academies that develop players. So they've obviously done a really good job of it. Clearly lots of teams are trying to do the same thing. But, yeah, that's where we're putting a lot of our focus. So if you look at our young sides coming through, which, I know not every fan does, but there's a lot of exciting young talent. So
yeah, and that's it, mate.
Of the future.
The bloke you mentioned there, Guskell, we all know the story. But being there, done it, the infamous 5-year plan at the Panthers and where they've ended up now. I remember early on that started slowly, like all transitions and long-term plans do. So it might happen to the Doggies for a year or two, but you're in the right hands. I think very confident in saying that. And the last one we'll touch on before we do move on, mate. Stephen Crichton, named skipper of the club. Everyone I've spoken to in and around that club since he's arrived there, apparently he's just hit the ground running, just a born leader. You mentioned, signing players, coming from clubs with success. He's about as good as it gets in recent years.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, like you say, all the feedback I've heard from everyone involved in the club has been extremely positive about him from day one. Even when he negotiated his deal with us, I think he did it without a manager. So he just he negotiated with one club and he did it himself. So that was showed real leadership then. He came in early from training that he needed to. Like he could have taken longer off, and he came in and got involved. He was a real leader at a camp they did, one of those army camps. And I was talking to Josh Jackson, actually, and Jacko said, he said, mate, he's your 10-year leader of the club.
Yeah.
He said, he's just the guy that, he said, even if he's not captain this year, he's the bloke that everyone will look to. And so, yeah, it's really exciting. Obviously, it's an exciting time. For him, the guy's been very successful, and you can see why. He's a true professional. So, yeah, I hope he goes well.
Very exciting times ahead of the Doggies. Ads. Next up, Matty the Waterboy, who this time last week, he was devastated if you see our Sydney selections in the side. It panned out that way. They didn't get the win in Vegas. Matty, how are you feeling, mate?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't become chairman of anything, so I don't have as much to say as you
have. There's time. There's time,
there's time, but for this week, I haven't, so I'll keep it a bit shorter. I was probably like 75% happy. Most of the game was good, but just errors and then not defending the errors, but it's round one. Can't be too upset this early.
Matty, they could have been beaten 60-20.
Probably should have been because, there's so much, Manly bombed a couple. See, our scramble defence was great. It could have been a lot worse.
I was going to say, Latrell Mitchell looked as fired up, as fit as he's ever been. Mate, you take that.
Oh, mate. Seeing Latrell, especially after, like, he was out for so long last year. We missed him so badly. And then by the end of the year, he didn't have enough time to get back into it. But now, full preseason, starting fresh. It was wonderful to see.
And last up, before we get stuck into the show, Desi Creek on the show last week copped a bloody pounding in the comments. People saying that he was drunk, all sorts of things, asking the question. It's like they must have tuned in for the first episode of the year, first listen, because Desi lost half his tongue in a incident that was very, very scary, car crash at the back end of last year. So cut Desi some slack, pour some cold water on that one. To be doing a podcast after losing half your tongue, pretty bloody good spot.
I think the issue is actually more he was having a bit of a go at me, which was bloody funny and good fun, but a few of my supporters, we're pretty tight-knit, just getting around him, so it's all right, guys, lay off, Desi.
We should warn everyone, though, Timmy has come in hot under the collar himself. Hey. He's pre-show, he's been pretty fired up, so I'm looking forward to what we get in this
I walked in, tried to suggest a few things, had to move chairs.
Well, unlike you clowns, Team is Tuesdays here, and it all becomes business for me. And that's why I spy. I've finished in the 1% about 8 times, and you've done it, what, once, twice?
Christ, once.
Once. I'm kidding, mate. I'm unbelievable. Kidding. You go all right, Spy. Boys, let's get stuck into it. Enough tomfoolery. The SC Playbook subscription package is once again available for $20, $24, $40 for just the entire NRL season. That gets you access to additional numerous articles throughout the entire season, each and every week. Access to our WhatsApp group, our community all in one place, going back and forth there, team advice threads, helping each other out, our team of contributors putting up their trades up each week, skippers, talking about all these good things, our conversations, the late mail thread, Adam Stiles and a few others running that show, so to make sure that you've always got that last minute team news throughout the week and leading into games, questions access for our question and answer podcast, access to our unlimited group major prize, all sorts of things. The Unlimited League also, the code for that, 743596. If you knock off all the SC Playbook contributors, there's $1,000 up for grabs. On today's show, the Vegas recap. We learnt a lot from those games over there, Supercoach-wise. Of course, the team list Tuesday, deep dive from the teams named today, the cheapy crisis that we'll get to the bottom of. We'll be looking at our sit v starts for the final six games of round one, our skippers, and wrapping up with a few questions. Just one last note, generally beers and break-evens with the guru of a Wednesday morning. We do that deeper dive into Team List Tuesday. SC Playbook will touch on a few different areas of Supercoach each week to differentiate the podcast, but it's Team List Tuesday for round one, so we'll be smashing that one this week. Boys, let's firstly get onto the games that have happened, though. The two games over in Vegas. And Spy, I'll start with you, mate. And it is looking at the four fullbacks who just started with a bang. Latrell Mitchell, 110 points. Tom Trbojevic, 81 points. Reece Walsh, not his best performance in that game. Had some okay moments. I was waiting to look at that score and see 40 at the end, 81 points. James Tedesco, 70 points. The value pick in all of them. Where do you sit in regards to fullback and these four players after four pretty incredible, certainly super coach performances in Vegas?
I sit in the camp of I want to do the old fullback rotation policy, yeah. Boys. It's just pick some schedules if you can, but as we know, it all depends on what trades you got through the year, what areas you've got to fix up. So one of the big things that I'm trying to achieve is just to minimise the need for fix-it-up trades early in the season, which will help with doing some of that rotation. But I was just watching the boys you mentioned. Tommy Turbo was incredible. Like, I didn't really want to talk about it on the weekend. I was, like, touching wood everywhere. Light on his feet, powerful, confident was a big one. He had, like, he could have scored two that both got overturned.
Very quickly overturned that one as well. I was like, the one time they don't look at it more than once.
When he could add two. He dropped a bomb, which is unusual. He was probably going to tap on. Saab nearly scored off his offload. Like, he could have been one.
That one on the line where Saab got run down by Lachlan Ilias. That cost Turbo 20 points.
Yeah. So basically, he could have been 140, 150 easily. So getting back to Brookie. It was a good track to run on, I'll give him that, but he looked deadly. Latrell, holy dooly. The only reason I didn't start with Latrell was because of Turbo. I just thought I need to start with Turbo. But when I heard a quote from Vossi early in the game, he goes, Latrell did say he wants to run through people this year, not round them. I was like, if I knew that, I might have thought more about it.
That was a great quote. They went on to mention that exact same thing about 15 times in the coverage.
And then he did exactly that about 15 times.
He did do that, yeah, no.
But he's a monster. But we know what he does. He steps up. It's Vegas. Of course Trell's going to dominate. He loves that big occasion. So let's see how he goes to start the year. Reece Walsh, as you said, is a mixed affair for him. Like, he's always trying hard. They're under the pump a bit. Made some errors. Could have had a few extra points. And he's still got 80-odd. Like, dead set. Big watch with some big names to come at fullback. It's going to be a key position. So
Teddy. Well, I mean, Teddy, I know we got 70, but he looked good. So if Teddy at the current price, suddenly he's going to, I mean,
yeah,
so hard to know who to get. I mean, I think we've all got Ponga and Turbo, don't we? But Teddy could be anything if he keeps playing like that.
Right,
at the price. is Guru on Teddy, is he?
No, Guru's, it can be anything, though. Could be anything.
Could be anything. Yeah, so, but from just a purely rugby league viewpoint, how good was it?
Oh, brilliant.
Honestly, just market this game around our fullbacks at the moment and you're good to go.
So, Ads, as you mentioned, we're all running Ponga Turbo on the panel here, and I personally couldn't have been happy with Turbo for all the mentions that Spy just mentioned. I honestly think if he stays fit this year, I didn't make jokes. I was very serious about, you know, those 143 average comparisons to 2021, saying, you know, maybe not that many, but somewhere thereabouts, or maybe 110, 120. After seeing that game and how good Turbo looked against a strong outfit on a thinner field, I think he averages 110 plus if he stays fit this year.
Yeah, he was the first player I picked, and I wasn't regretting it during the game. I thought he just looked so good. And like you say, he could have scored anything. So I think he's a lock for me. But equally, it's one of those positions that if you really love Latrell, he's going to be a pod, and you'd be pretty happy if you
got a guy on Latrell. Yeah.
Like, and then you got Ponga, even Pappenhausen. Everyone's forgetting Pappenhausen because we don't really know, but there's just so many good options. Drink water.
It's Joe Chan. Blake Taff. It's Joe Chan's so side now in fairness. So yeah, I'm just worried about the attention Joe gets. So it might be Pappy's. He might ease into it, Joe around. But something to mention on Tommy as well. He didn't actually get the line break assist off that offload. And I checked. It's because it was off an error. They dropped it close to the line. He beat a couple offloaded.
Yes.
So that's on any given day. That takes him to 90. Like, nothing went his way. Scored 82 or whatever.
None owners of any of those four guys would have been very happy with the output, even like if you take the scores away, just their output in the game, particularly Walsh after sort of having not his best game at 81 points. But as a Tom Trbojevic owner, as you said, Ads, I could not have been happy with it. And I'm very, very happy to be on that Turbo and Caelan Ponga bandwagon so far. Speaking of Turbo, Burbo, Benny Trbojevic, 72 points. Stud on the edge, I suppose, by there's sort of two questions there. Josh Schuster could be back this week. I think Burbo played about 71 minutes. A great play in CT Dubs. He's owned by about 60%. With Schuster, you know, in 2 weeks' time, every chance to come back on the bench. He may not. Do you just get Benny Trbojevic straight away? Or if you don't own him yet, and there's 40% who don't, do you sit there and wait until that third game for him for that first price rise, before we see the first price rise, just in case Schuster comes back and takes too many minutes, because he could.
I think I'd be happy to sit, one more week without him, just to see. I'll tell you what, I don't think they're going to mess with that edge. They might.
Good, huh? He looks good. Well.
They feel like throwing Schuster in is going to create a whole new dynamic around Brooks, which he doesn't need. I think we'll see Schuster in the middle, boys. Could be interesting, won't it? Playing that lock ball playing role. I'm not sure what plans they got for him, but yeah, I think on Benny,
hopefully just hold that edge. Try early too. Yeah. Turbo nearly put him in
Turbo.
Early.
Yeah, no.
He just stood so there, Turbo,
he
and went.
He got 100.
There you go, Benny.
Yeah,
try score, but
he just looked good to the eye. So many times, all three Trbojevic has played well. Every time a bloke got smashed, it was either Jake or Ben smashing the.
Benny was busy too. So geez, he made some tackles early, so it was good.
Manly be good.
Likes a tough carry.
Did we all play him?
Yep.
Yeah, thankfully. There was a small... You like this, actually. Terrell May, I was sitting there. A year ago, I would have dropped him late and faltered like the coward I once was in my young days. And I thought about everything we spoke about last year. I'm like, there is no way I can drop Terrell May after having all preseason. I was getting psyched out of it on Twitter and buddy everywhere. I was like, no, I know what I'm doing here. I'm going to back my... Not just numbers. I'm going to back my footy eye and be like... We're good here, boys. And thankfully it came off, but I was so nervous about it. I'm backing myself this year. I said it, and you're allowed to sack me, slap me, whatever, if I don't. So we're on.
Happy not to slap you, mate, but I could sack you if you don't get any good. Ruben Garrick adds 99 points at centre. looked good. He was going at a pretty flimsy defensive edge and got some pretty easy stats there. I mean, there's two parts to this. If Jason Saab's gone for how long, Spy, do we think?
I just read six weeks.
Yep. That becomes, I mean, give us your thoughts on him at centre, because it's one for one, a great result. But if they decide to put like Tommy Talley out centre and Ruben goes back to the wing in this what looked to be a very good Manly outfit on the wing, he becomes very interesting.
I think that's Garrick, isn't he? Like, we know, like, he's done it now two full seasons and now he started again. So it's not a surprise to see him go well. I think if you want to spend big money and get a guy that's pretty reliable, he's a guy. I'm not going to spend that big money for him, but it doesn't feel a lot of risk getting him. With the goal kicking, he just produces points. And I thought he started pretty down, actually. Like, Keno went through him a couple of times, but then he ended up racking up nearly 100. So that's just him. He does it every week. Remember a couple of years ago, like, if you didn't have him,
you were dead.
You were dead because he just punished you every week.
That's where it's interesting because, again, they're not going to drop Ruben Garrick on one or two poor defensive reads at centre, but if they are trying to solve this and they think that Tommy Taliau is the best option at centre, you know, Garrick could go back to the wing. Spy, Garrick, I'm not keen on it at this point. It's one game sample size. I'm not overly keen on him at centre, but like, I'm starting Hamiso Tabuai-Fido as my CT dub. If that experiment fails, which I'm hoping it doesn't, but it's possible, there's a downside to Hammer and there's a bit of risk there, and Garrick ends up back on the wing, goal kicking for a side that could be red hot this season. Whoa.
If Manly play like Manly did on Sunday in Vegas, mate, outside Cherry Evans there, I actually love him. He did it last year to the Titans. Sure, they were weak and they didn't turn up. Yeah. He scored 160 or 70 at centre last year. He's going to get games where he get opportunities to tear guys apart. He scored 99. He had one try on a line break, so he dropped that to 72 without it. He's still got 72 and just doing his work, running and kicking some goals. Like,
I think my issue is, like, there's only so many players he can afford at that price at the start, and I'm going to spend it on two fullbacks and two halves, partly because I think those four are captaincy options every week, like between Cleary, Hines, Turbo, Ponga. There's a captain there every week, and I don't see myself captaining Garrick any week in front of those blokes.
I should clarify, I meant moving forward, like once we get to that upgrade stage, six or seven, he's right on the mark.
You can just pick him in seven, forget him.
I think people who pick, like, who have gone with a premium CT dub, say 600K plus, if that CT dub struggles early and punches out 30 and 30, like centre wings can do, that's where the opportunity could come up early to go to Garrick.
Jump on him early, like, it'd be interesting.
Ads, did you end up picking any premium CT dubs in your team?
Two of us, Sheck is my most expensive, so he's, I wouldn't call him premium, but what's he,
540 or something?
Yeah, 540, yeah.
Boys, Hamole Olakau'atu, holy mackerel, 97 points. He's 700 grand. We've spoken about time and time again, but plenty of mid-range 2RFs that we can pick from. Spy, he looked fit. He looked destructive. Again, I don't really see how we can get... He'll be a great target once one of these mid-range 2RFs increase in value, but he's going to play a big role this season for Supercoaches, I think.
Down the line could be a pod, couldn't he? He's sort of due to break out again. He's sort of already done it. He's due to do it again.
I mentioned on a potty a week or two ago, it could be the year that he goes to maybe not quite Fifita levels, but certainly being a clear number two to Fifita. Especially, as you said, you just mentioned Garrick running off DCE. Olakau'atu is running off him as well.
I think Garrick's great for him as well. Just takes that extra attention away from him.
Played very well.
It's a good edge, that one, for Manly.
Boys, one of the big talking points coming in, Desi Creek was very keen on him last week. Luke Brooks in his first game for Manly, 59 points. And you can look at this two ways. Obviously, there's that playing in that really troublesome 5-8 position. One way you can look at it is that he scored the late try with a line break that shot him from about 25, 30 to his 59. The other one is just the good old-fashioned rugby league eye test. Ads... Luke Brooks looked very good in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he passed the eye test with flying colours. He could have, equally, he had that one when he reached out and it was no try, so that cost him, what, 30?
Yeah.
So he could have easily had 100. He looked good. I just think, I'm with Desi, I think he is going to play well. Like, I think he's a great half to play alongside Cherry Evans, but I don't have him, but I could have easily started with him. I was very close to.
Spy, I don't own him. I wouldn't even say I was. He was just always a watch for me. I'm not upset not to own. If I did own, I'd be pretty chipper.
I'd be stoked. You'd be a bit nervous prior to that late try just because it didn't go his way. It was a little bit like Turbo, actually. He looked pretty comfortable. I was sort of chatting to one of my mates this week, and my issue with Brooks has always been, you know, unleashing a back line, his ball playing and all that, I don't think is very good, and his intercepts isn't necessarily great. He doesn't have to do that.
No.
Cherry does all that. Tommy does that. He can just run, tackle. He's a huge effort player. He's very, he's a good athlete. He's fast and strong. You got Tommy out the back. He get chances to run, as we saw when he swapped sides of the ruck and switched to the right there and took him on. That was good to see. Good early signs. There's no way I'm jumping or anything at this stage, but if he keeps it up, he's got an opportunity there to do good things. But it's, look, it's one game in. I don't want to overreact.
For sure.
So also, on that left there, because he's on that left side, Kola went through for like about five or six half breaks but didn't get any. He's going to be giving Kola early ball all year. So he's going to rack up some good points.
And
there,
on the flip side, Maddie, how many times can you see him putting Kola through? Great support play, Luke Brooks.
He is.
He'll be going straight back on the inside team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's so quick. If he catches it, he scores.
Quick.
So quick. It was the other one when he nearly put Turbo through that great inside ball.
There was an inch from being that a try assist, line assist.
He nearly got the try assist for Turbo. He nearly got the one himself.
Quietly. Had 120. What a game of footy as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What a way to start this.
My young fella had a meltdown down with about 10 to go. I was like, just hang on, mate. Won't be long.
Just give me 10 more minutes.
I didn't want to pause. It was only around one.
Richie Kenner, 88. Jacob Gagai, 55 points. Maddie, I'll throw to you here. Great scores. Nothing has changed in my mind because job security is still really poor. I mean, they lost the game. Kenner was pretty ordinary in defence. Good in attack, but poor in defence. Gagai maybe can hold a spot, but wouldn't be touching them until round three at the earliest.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident now that Kenner's going to get probably one more game and then he'll make way. And then Gagai, I thought he played good. But, yeah, I'm more confident than last week, but it's still not safe for me.
Yeah.
But you made a good point last week, Spy, about off camera.
Talk to me.
Well, this was your point, but I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
When Trell plays Origin, Gagai actually might play fullback for South.
Yeah, I can't even claim that. It was someone sent it through on Twitter, maybe.
Yeah.
I was like,
was actually a really good shout, I thought. Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind.
It is a good shout, but I do think Gagai's time in teams will be very much done and dusted by that point. Look, if he keeps a spot in the team, he's on the wing for one of the best attacking teams in the NRL. Mm-hmm. So maybe he could be a hold till Origin. I just think he'll have made his cash by then, even if he was. Anyway.
When's Munro due back? And then Whiten's back.
Yeah. Munro, 5.
4-5 Munro.
4-5 Whiten round 3.
Yeah. So just happy to give it another week with Gagai, certainly. And if he kills it again and he's about to make a ton of cash, maybe just bite the bullet. And even if he gets dropped for Munro, whoever it might be, you hold on to him for that good cash rise to come if he's got a negative 50 break even.
We might need some cash, boys, looking at things. So yeah.
Spy, Sean Kepi. We'll tie two in together here. Sean Kepi, 41 in 40 minutes, no offloads. Pretty much exactly what I expected from him. Owners will be disappointed, but also the prospect of potentially more offloads to come could push it to 50. Jai Arrow, 39 in 53 minutes. Did you end up getting him or not?
I didn't, luckily. Not luckily, but he got busted first run of the game, then hurt his shoulder. I was like, oh.
Two different looking
and
injuries.
And one of my things with Arrow that I was a bit hesitant because he'd sort of been a placeholder there for a while. He can cop an injury. He plays tough. And he gets through it a lot, but it did seem to affect his game to me. Like, he carried out the game. I don't know about your thoughts, Matty, but he wasn't, like, overly threatening tackle-busting offloading. He looked like he's just doing a job.
Yeah, exactly. But as you said, he got injured in the first tackle, and then he got injured again. He's
he
just
looked
a,
like
he's
the
just
middle
a warrior.
Of the years.
Yeah, 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 exactly right.
Oh, seriously.
But a wait and see. I mean, if he plays next week, there's no need to panic. Because he could still get his minutes, and I think it's a game you put a little line through just to see how he comes back. But a little bit concerning just with that injuries and obviously getting spelled on the edge, I think, was the plan. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Front row's not great, though.
And I don't think owners would be thrilled with either. but also would you be willing to give them another week?
I think if you got them in there, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think if you got them in there, bad luck. It's not a good start. Like I wouldn't start with those blokes. But
I think look, the writing was on the wall a bit for Arrow with the 4-4 bench named. I just couldn't see how he was going to get 80. Yeah. 50. I was tipping in for about 60. 53 is, you know, a bit less than we expected. Kepi, fine. Watch this space. If you can start offloading next week in 40 minutes, maybe he goes right and can make a bit of cash value. Adds Joey Manu, probably pretty similar to the mould of Ruben Garrick. Like all the conversation we just had, but 106 points, 18 runs, 5 tackle breaks, 3 offloads. It's the Joey Manu of old. That game was the Joey Manu.
Looked amazing, didn't he?
He was roaming around as well. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a game last year where Teddy and Manu both played like that together, right? So that was what you'd expect of them. And he was dynamic. So, again, he's just one of those guys. When you can get him in your side, you'd be pretty stoked to see him in there. But
yeah. Can't wait to own him. But, again, just price this early on in the season.
Wilson Carlos mentioned on his recap, he's so good. Well, some of the tactical rugby league stuff he talks about. He talked about that double drop where Manu comes back on the inside, which is exactly what you want as an owner, because he's drifting across, bumping blokes, then offloading.
Yeah.
And he just noted that they did that a lot more. So as soon as that's happening, yeah, hello, Joey.
I bet, good point. I bet the Warriors do, or I hope the Warriors do that with RTS as well.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
Such a waste going to rugby, huh?
Such a waste.
Shame.
It's a shame.
Anyway, Spy. You can have your moment. You already started on it, but Terrell May, the standout. 64 points, 21 tackles, 3 offloads, 17 runs, 1 tackle break. Let's tie in the whole Roosters forward pack here. Satili Tupanua, 43 minutes. Went off injured just after halftime. Sua Wong, 52 minutes. He looks set to play about another 11 or 12 minutes.
Yep.
Went off injured. May got 54 minutes. Came on and played the rest of the game. Brandon Smith, 54 minutes. Spencer Lenu, 42 minutes. May or may not get suspended. We'll know next day or two, I suppose. Jabariah Hargreaves back next week. To state the obvious, Terrell May looks a great pickup, and at I think it's about 430K, the solution to a lot of these headaches at front row forward. He's very much on my radar for round 3. Talk to us about the minutes in this pack, because I know you've done a big deep dive into them. Who do you put a line through? How much can you take out of it off the back of that Tupanua and Wong had their injuries? How do you see it all?
Firstly, he's just a weapon. Like, he's such a good footballer, which is what sort of the attraction came. It wasn't about numbers and minutes. It was about how good he is. But what I did the night before, I had a look. Anytime the Roosters have a bench with Sandon Smith, is it? And then an edge back row in Nat Butcher. I was a little bit worried maybe Nat goes on in the middle, but he spelled Siu Wong pretty early.
Yeah.
And it looked like, we don't know because injuries happen, but maybe the 3 back rowers, Tupanua, Wong and Butcher, could basically rotate through. And then the middle, it basically left 2 middle forwards on the bench. One was White, who only played 15, 16 minutes.
Who becomes Jabari Hargreaves next week anyway.
Yep, so I'm thinking basically, Jared takes an extra 25 and maybe plays about 40 with a deeper pack now. They don't have to rely on him as much. Radley went to an edge for the injury, played 80. He could easily play 15, 20 less.
Yeah.
Collins played 60. He could play 5 less. That still leaves 55 for May. And even on a day when he doesn't get his 55, 40, 45 for Terrell May at that price is lovely. And what I did notice last year, when he played 40 minutes, his score wasn't that much different to 50 minutes, because you probably know you're playing a bit longer or whatever and you're winded in a touch, but I think the minutes are there.
If he keeps playing like that, they don't have a choice. They've got to give him those minutes, because he was just so good when he was on.
Yeah,
his work rate and just what he was getting through.
And Robbo said after the game, he goes, granted injuries played a role in it, and that's where the uncertainty comes in, but he goes, he was going too good. I couldn't take him off. Rory Hargreaves averaged 46 minutes last year. Did you say Radley played 80?
He played 80 because he went to an edge.
So he won't play 80.
Yep.
So there's
Collins played 60. So there's minutes there.
Yeah.
Smith could come back on as well, but he played hooker, might not play middle.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think regardless if he keeps minutes, anything like that or not, or drops to 45, I think he's a buy. Ads, do you have him?
No, but I wish I did.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to think about the balance of my side. Like we were talking before, think about being able to bring him in round 3. So I've got to, I think for everyone, you want to think about your side you pick this week so that you can bring him in round 3, because if he does that again, at the price, he's just too good.
Yeah.
And, too good an option.
And to touch on some early plans and what we can do with the team list now, having some insights from the first two games in Vegas, happy to throw my plan out there then. And again, teams have dropped just before recording this. Manic all day, tore through as much Supercoach analysis as I could, got the team's analysis up on site. I'll be updating the analysis of that after the podcast tonight with the full thing. But I'm thinking, what's his face? Palacio. I always get Piakura, Palacio, Willison. Those,
well, that's who I stuffed up with you last year on a message with like two rounds left. Like, he's starting. Like, it's Palacio. Like, yeah, sorry.
Helican. Palacio. Keenan Palacio has been named to start at lock for the Titans at 365K. David Fifita, the only one to come back into that forward pack, to my knowledge. So I'm pretty happy to play him. And as we were sort of speaking before the show, and I'm thinking I will start Palacio there, and then in a week or two, if Palacio doesn't go any good or he's not getting the minutes, whatever it might be, pretty easy move to Terrell May.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea. I've done the same thing, only because I copied you in the rush before this body. And I can make some other upgrades in my side, which made me feel good.
Just on the Chooks as well, I'm very happy, regardless of where you own them, you don't, just to sit another week. Let's see what unfolds. We'll know what happens with Lenu. I don't mind getting Terrell May if you've got a real problem area. And I don't want this guy.
I don't mind it either.
Yeah, but you don't have to go now. You can watch so another week if you need.
They've got so much depth, the Roosters, in like real world. You think of the guys that weren't in that 17 that are there ready to come in.
Crazy.
Angus Crichton, JWH, Egan Butcher.
And they looked at then
Connor Watson.
Connor Watson and then Dominic Young.
Connor Watson is the Connor Watson's the real issue, and why we need to potentially wait on all those forwards until that third week and before that initial price rise. Because if he replaces Smith, sure, he'll probably spend a little bit of time at hooker, but he can also spend time at 13 and impact that middle rotation.
So many options. They are stacked. Didn't they just look a different side as well this year? Physical, confident, just
and they've got a watch lot of young blokes. If you go watch their lower grades, they've got a lot of young blokes coming through. Like,
boys, Brendan Piakura, I'm glad, in a very small sense, I'm glad this occurred. Not for Piakura's sake. I hope he's okay and not too dazed after his early HIA, but I'm just happy to get it over and done with in the first episode of the season. Why didn't they just bring in a HIA rule for Supercoach? I know it happens. It's a part of the game, but
I've got an update.
What?
I'm a message Sangster.
Yeah.
And he said, send through your thoughts, mate. I'll see what we can do. So maybe, and that's no pressure
and
on Sangster.
Like first game, second game of the season, I should say. I think he was like almost the second, third most owned player in the game. Lasted 4 or 5 minutes. Ads. He had one really good early run. He made about 15 metres off and had a tackle bust. Bugger.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing you'd say is that most teams who are serious probably had him. Yep. That's the only saving grace. And I think if you had him, you had to start him like he was a starting second rower, like to play 80 minutes. So everyone would have him in their 17. You just got to suck it up and move on. I think it'd be worse if it was like a halfback and you had a captain and it cost you the double points and other teams didn't have that. So I think we're probably largely all in the same boat. So
we'll all be not a major drama.
Didn't even from Supercoach wise worry me that much. I was like, both that got HIA and taken off was the highly owned guy. Thank goodness. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Anyway.
Also, no pressure on Sangstra. He doesn't make all decisions, but we've got a little bit of encouraging. He said, send it through and we'll see what we can do. So, come on.
Stuff Tommy. I'll come be on. Ripping into the fella after.
You can rip him. I don't know him well enough, and he's a good bloke.
He's a legend. He's a legend, Tommy Sangstra. Last one to touch on, boys, before we go into our team list for the week. Jesse Arthur's very... shouldn't say a very happy owner. I'm a happy owner, 376K. He's on the left edge at the Broncos. I really wanted him on the right, but with the lack of genuine cheapies, I went, you know what, we've got a bloke who looks like he's locked into a wing spot at the Broncos, although there is competition with Corey Oates. Very good footballer, outstanding the grand final last year. I didn't actually play him because I just didn't like the thinner field, the left edge, the uncertainties, but scored 60 points, had 16 runs. I'm hoping if Oates does come in at any point for Dean Mariner, who was also all right, that Arthurs could lob on that right wing. Do you boys own?
I don't. I was really close, and I just wanted to wait and see what unfolded there. My thoughts are that Cobbo's got the quickest hands in the game nearly. Oh, he's so talented.
What a pass.
He's like, oh, I'll just do this. Bang. He did it in the trials and that weekend. So he'll put him in space. I like it.
What a great try that was. Like, Mam's hands were quick. Like, it was just the two of them.
So I'll be pretty keen to sort of have a look at him.
Wait another week, though,
Oh, definitely, wait a week.
Guys, if you played your first pre-season game of footy on the weekend, your first trial of 2024, it was stinking hot, you got battered from pillar to post, then offered up lifts to the boys to the pub after the game, you got back to your Toyota Echo, realised you couldn't fit all their footy bags and the empty bloat tinnies in the car, well, might be time to upgrade said car. If you're looking to upgrade to a fresh whip, reach out to Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW to get the best rate on a new car loan to make sure you don't leave the boys high and dry next time you offer them a lift. Usually, it'd sting you $129, but if you mention SC Playbook, it's completely free of charge. To do that, flick the boys a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_SCW or you can give them a buzz on 02-9521-1611. Doesn't matter where in Australia that you're based. All right, boys, let's get stuck into the real good stuff, and that is Team List Tuesday for the new season, and we'll go through game by game, starting with the Knights versus the Raiders. Spy at the Newcastle Knights. We'll just touch – I mean, we're not going to go through every single position in every team and read out every team list. We're going to touch on the key Supercoach points, and look, it's no shock, but – Dylan Lucas named to start on the edge, Tyson Frizzell on the other edge. We believe Dylan Lucas will play on the left edge. Great spot to be outside. Caelan Ponga doing his best work. Kaipis Paul on the interchange bench. Again, by no means a shock, but if Kaipis Paul was named to start there, he'd be straight in for me. If for whatever reason one of them missed out, I would have picked the other one. Bit of a bugger, not a surprise.
Yeah, I think I would have taken him regardless, to be honest, although with
Piss
the cheapies. Piss
Paul, 342K, starting back row, outside KP, thank you.
Yeah, not playing 80, though. Yeah, so, I mean, Dylan Lucas is a very good player. Mm. Even if he takes 30 off him, do you really want a 50-minute player? Maybe you do if he's quality, but yeah.
No Jed Cartwright is the main thing, because a lot of teams had Jed Cartwright owned. So
I've flicked him in.
You got him in.
I need one nuff. Dual position.
We'll come to that.
Second row centre. Flick him.
It's disappointing for a guy with his experience.
One nuff.
He's not enough though, mate. He's every chance to come into that 17 at some point.
Well,
you'll already own him. And he'll play like 11 minutes.
Don't play till Thursday.
He's worth 238K at the moment, or 234. He'll be 200K before you know it. He'll just become a hindrance and kill any potential loops. He'll be your AA emergency. You can't loop.
Well, sounds like I've got another nothing coming then. I only put him in 1 minute before the podcast.
Anyway, if you've got him, you probably want to take him out of your team, which I think about 30%.
A point that I made, boys, to you pre-show. If you want enough from the start of the season, I would be getting a guy like KL Iro, who is, we think, like one injury away in that Sharks back line from being a starter at near enough bottom dollar, who can make you some good money. You know, there's a ton of players out there who are one injury away. I'm going to get his pronunciation wrong, but Ali Leotau at centre for the Warriors, like, he's every chance to be one injury away from coming in and starting at centre, so I'd be going down that avenue.
I just need a back row, but we'll talk.
Yeah. With Jewel, ideally.
Ideally with Jewel,
some
for
of
sure.
Can move around
I want a centre back rower. I'll probably spend some ridiculous amount of time trying to find this guy, like 2 hours on Wednesday night, and then go, oh, he's not there. But should be a late one.
Boys, at the Raiders, a few significant cheapy plays here. Adds Ethan Strange gets the nod at 5'8 over KO Weeks. I think we'll all be locking him in there. Nick Kotrick named as a cheapy on the wing. Xavier Savage is about 350K, borderline cheapy. Danny Levi named at number 9. He's about 238K as well. He'll be sharing minutes with Tom Starling. Adam Mariota, one that I thought that maybe he'd be like the best of a bad bunch in terms of cheapies in the front row forward. Named on the bench with Josh Papali'i to start. Still think Mariota could be okay, but Corey Horsburgh to come back. Surrounding these cheapies, is there anyone that you're keen on, barring, of course, Strange, who's probably the one?
At the moment, I have Levi, but you were talking me out of that before the show. But I just don't know who else to put in cheap at hooker. So I've got Levi, but I don't feel good about it. It's funny, Ethan Strange is a guy that probably a lot of us haven't seen a lot play, And we're all about to watch every minute that he plays and sweat on him.
The beauty of
He's going to be the most owned player in Supercoach. So, yeah, it's going to
You'll enjoy it. He's good.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, yeah. So that's good for him. Like, young kid coming in playing 5'8". That's good to see. So Danny Levi. I know what Elliot Whitehead's due back in that side, so.
Yeah, he'll push Hosking to the bench.
Morgan Smithies is the other one. Did you mention him?
Smithies, 345K.
I mean, he's just, well, immediately in for me. Yeah. Yeah. Just because 345K
starting. Oh, especially after the team's have been named, 100%.
Yeah. So he's straight in for me. There's so much depth at the front row on that side, isn't there? Like,
they have so many. Yeah. I actually preferred it. And I mean, again, it'll be fine for when Whitehead does return. But Whitehead will return on the edge. We expect Zach Hosking to spell Whitehead. Probably doesn't become the 80-minute man this year for the Raiders on the edge. With Hosking on the bench, one of those three middles, Emre Gula, Mariota, Saulo, would drop out.
And when's the horse come back?
Round three.
So that's danger for Smithies, isn't it?
It is.
You're going to tell me Smithies will drop out for Horsburgh and Locke.
Mm. He could. But, like, Horsburgh could come back off the bench. There's every chance that the Red Dog could – but he could start at prop and Papali'i comes off the bench. If Smithies is good enough, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Okay. All right.
Because Papa will play his 50-odd minutes regardless. So whether that's bench, impact, starting
– yeah.
There's some options there for Big Stick.
Just think of the price. It's worth having a crack at a bloke who, if Stick likes him, and it sounds on all reports that he does, and he's hit the ground running down there, we could have a 65-minute lock forward. We don't need him for 5-6 weeks. Who can make some cash?
Sticky doesn't mind a white pommy fella that tackles all day. I'll give you the tip.
Exactly.
As he shouldn't.
Exactly right. Boys, at the Warriors, Tane Torpiki has been named at fullback with Charles Nicol-Klukstad out until about round, anywhere between about round 3 and 5 with, I believe, a hamstring niggle, meaning Roger Tuivasa-Sheck starts at centre. Luke Metcalf has won the 5'8 role. Let's talk about Torpiki, who is about 280-odd K to start the season. I'll confirm that shortly. Could he be the best of a bad bunch at CDW to start the year? Spy, look, he's not going to probably get more than 3 or 4 games once Charles is fit, but he's still got a starting fullback for a good price.
The only thing I'm thinking about watching those team lists is beer, whiskey, cocktail, and which burger I'm going to have 6 o'clock Friday. Bring it on. In answer to your question, yes, I'm going to start Torpiki.
So that's a yes to Torpiki?
yes to Torpiki, and I'm going to play him. Had a look at his numbers last year, obviously a year older now. Seems to work hard enough. You obviously have try assist potential in him. I'm very happy to play him in 17s to start the year. It's not ideal that he could drop out, but given Chandra's injury history and head knock risk because he just plays so hard, he is the kind of bloke maybe sits there for a while and potentially plays buys. And if he gets a big enough rise, sweet, I'll cash him in.
I suppose worst case is Roger spends time at fullback and Chance comes back and he gets demoted to third choice fullback. But we can only go on the fact that Torpiki's been named there round one. So I think worst case, Chance comes back round 3 or 4, whatever, and there's no injuries anywhere, and Torpiki doesn't get a start again until mid-season or whatever, and you're like sitting there. But again, as you said with Chance, misses a lot of games, a lot of concussions.
He's that one you talk about before. He's one away. It's good to have not someone six
dual
down CT'd the list.
Up fullback.
And he's cheap, 277, and he's a starting fullback.
And as you adds, very playable in 17s, I think, I'm for the first few rounds.
I'm playing him.
Anyone well. Running off SJ gets my tick of approval, don't you worry.
The other one here. Anyone keen on Wade Egan to start the season? I actually didn't mind it in a tough hooking position. Plenty of attacking upside to him. Freddie Lussick named on the bench by, you'd imagine he's going to share minutes. So
yeah, that's concern. And Wade Egan would be my most scary bloke to watch in the whole competition if I owned him. Speaking of head knocks and playing above his weight. Geez, he has a crack. Great footballer. He's actually one of my favourite players at the Warriors. But I couldn't start him. I just couldn't.
Ads over at the Sharkies. Pretty well named as expected. CC for Talakai has been confirmed to play that centre spot over KL Iro, who was a popular cheapie. The only one to probably touch on here, Supercoach-wise, had a lot of questions about Royce Hunt. And, you know, everyone's looking for this cheap front row forward option. He has been named to start in round one at the Sharkies. He's 332K. His points per minute the last 2 years, 1.31 and 1.35. They're in minutes of 25 and 29 per game. It reads well if you can get the minutes. The concern, 4 middle forwards on the bench. And the same thing happened last year because the Sharkies had, I don't know why, I don't like it from Craig Fitzgibbon, but four middle forward bench. So I just don't know how many minutes he can get.
And is Hamlin,
Hamlin-Urelli's injured.
Yeah, so when's CJ back? Yeah.
And he's got about 3 weeks. He got injured in the finals last year, I'm pretty sure, and it was a reco from that. I think it's around week three, round three.
So him to come back four. In as well.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I hadn't even looked at him, but nothing I heard there is making me think. Like the job security is a bit lacking to me for bring him in. Like compared to Tyrell May, an extra 100K next week and plan for that, or Palacio, as you say.
The only way I would be okay with, you know, people maybe doing it, is that you bring him in with that plan, just like we've sort of mentioned with Palacio. And if he comes out and goes well and you're happy days, I'm onto a good one here. Yeah, but if he doesn't, you move him to Terrell May.
Yeah, I guess it's a viable option. Instead of Palacio, you can do it with him. Yeah, cool. That's fair. Yeah.
Spy at the Melbourne Storm. Ryan Pappenhausen returns as expected at fullback. Cam Munster under an injury cloud, but has been named at 5'8". No major other news in the back line, in the forward pack. Come on down, Joe-chan.
Joey. Yeah, good. Absolute godsend. I haven't seen much of him apart from that trial the other day, and he just actually caught my eye. I was like, who's this bloke? He's running hard lines. Obviously, anyone that impresses bellyache, that's good enough for me. So,
the son of NRL great Alex Chan, 238K, second row forward. As soon as I saw his name there, I was pretty happy as someone who was able to avoid Suwong, Satili Tupanua, because I think a lot of people will probably be struggling to find a spot to get him in at 2RF.
True. And
he looks a great buy. Far from safe. Sean Blaw, 18th man, has missed the 17. Kane Bradley, who played on the edge in the trial, which it seemed a weird one from the word go, but has missed the squad as well. Middle forwards on the bench, along with Tyron Wishart and who's the other one? Tyron Wishart and Chris Lewis, who can play on the edge, but could also every chance to probably more likely play in the middle. He could be an 80-minute edge back rower. What do you think, mate?
I think if you're listening to this podcast, we don't need to discuss any further. Like, you're going to have Joe Chan. He's a 238K starting second rower. Hello. Yeah. There's not many of them. I think every single one of us is going to have him in there. And if you don't, I don't know what you're listening to. But, yeah, so is he going to come off? Who knows? Like, we don't know until we see it. He might not, you know, he might disappoint. But at 238, he can't really go wrong. And he's starting. Now, the question for me is more, will you start him this week in your 17 as opposed to will you have him in your 25? But I think you've got to have him in the 25, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so.
I just don't think there's any other options, unless, as Timo said, if you've stacked your side from last week, I get it.
There will be teams out there with, like, Tupanua Wong and maybe one or two, like Piakura, a few of them there who won't be able to.
But if there's a spot there and you're like, what do I do here? It's got to be Joe.
Yeah. So I reckon a lot of us would have had one, either that young Dragon or the Kane Bradley, like with a filler there hoping that a cheapie would be named.
Yeah.
And so he's the guy. He's stepping up.
At the Penny Panthers, probably no major news there. Taruva's under a bit of an injury cloud. He's been named, which means Taylor May definitely stays at centre. Luke Summerton named at number 9. No, he is not the miraculous fix to our hooking woes. A cheap number 9, because Mitch Kenny's back. I think it might even be next week. He's suspended. So when that happens, Summerton probably drops out. Even worse, he might go to the bench and be a number 14. So I suppose Spy, the only other one to touch on there is Liam Henry. I know Guru's a big fan of Henry, but Scott Sorensen's also not been named there. Luke Garner played in the grand final last year, so he probably goes to the bench. Job security an issue. Four forward bench.
My only thing would be your fourth front rower. Who knows who that is?
Yeah.
So if you're just stuck and you might take a flyer that he impresses and plays 30 minutes, well, man, yeah, it's not pretty. Not early.
I'm bringing, as Bulldogs chairman, I'm bringing Taylor May into the side, but it's my super coach side, but speculation. But, yeah, Taylor May's a starter for me at centre.
Absolutely. Lock and load, Taylor. At the Parramatta Eels, taking on your doggies, Canterbury Bulldogs. Parramatta, Bailey Simonson named on the wing. Mike Acevo is out for, I think it's a 3-match suspension there. Morgan Harper starts at centre. When Sevo's back, Simonson will go back to centre. In the forward pack, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright, starting edges. I suppose by the only thing here is any concern for Sean Lane now that Kelma Tuolungi was great in the trials. We did touch on it last week. I'm happy to pick him regardless, but there's every chance he's a 55, 60 minute man.
Definitely concerned, but happy just to plug him in. Let's see what happens there. He's got attacking stats in him as well as work rate. Might just be a case of just trying to get him back and build him up towards those 80 minutes. He's had a pretty tough sort of 14, 15 months there. So let's see what happens. And even if he doesn't play 80 now, it doesn't mean he won't be by round three. So fingers crossed for Shawnee, but he's too good at his best not to be playing massive minutes for that side. He literally, the last time he played properly, they made a grand final. So yeah.
Brad Arthur obviously doesn't play super coach. Brad, we just wanted one hooker. Oh, okay.
The biggest talking point in teams, and I was about to go straight to the Doggies, they've named dual hookers. Out. The big one for the preseason, I said the biggest one coming into today's team list Tuesday, was Brad Arthur going to stick to his word and pick an 80-minute hooker? Joey Lussick named at number 9, Brendan Hands at 14. Not what we wanted, because everyone was desperate to fill that second number 9 slot. At a pinch, they could have played one of these guys as their starting number 9 if he was 80-minute man. How do you see it, Ads? Could you make the case? So Joey Lussick's still only about 314K. For him to be your second hooker, or you're looking elsewhere at someone like Levi? What do you
think? Yeah, no, he's changed my plans, because I was going to have I was thinking I would start with Appy, because I liked Appy as a goal kicker. I thought he's going to be just underpriced and one of those blokes. And I thought with Appy not playing this week, I'd be very happy to have an 80-minute hooker. But now I don't have an 80-minute hooker there. I don't really like the idea of Levi starting this week. So I've had to upgrade Appy to Harry Grant at the moment. So it's completely changed the makeup
would
of my
you
side, because I've got to think about who I start this week.
And I'm in a similar boat, mate, because I'm currently an Appy owner as well. I don't mind the idea of trying to get him to Harry Grant, but with some not great cheapies named, I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that. For the sake of 1 week, do you play, whether it's Lussick or Levi? If they get their 35, look, it's probably, if they're an 80 minute, they're probably only getting 55 anyway. Yeah. So like, you only cost yourself 20 points to get the team you want.
You can, if you think you can work out who's going to play 55. Because there's no guarantee.
I know, like Lussick could play 25, then he comes on.
Yeah, but
dramas.
Anyway.
It's tough. Spy, how do you say it?
Well, I'm running Robson, so that's my thoughts. I'm not keen at all.
What do you think of your second number 9 slot?
Levi. Yeah, he's 230K. I looked last year. He came out and played some reasonable minutes first couple of weeks, maybe around 50. Mm. Then he got hurt. So the reason I'm actually doing it is to keep Dylan Brown in my side. That's the actual answer. If I go up higher after lose Dylan Brown, I don't really want to do it. So I'm just taking a punt on Levi as someone I hopefully won't have to play at all. If I do have to play, maybe punch out a 30 for me, 50 with an assist or something if you're lucky, but it's just a bit of a punt. But best case, he doesn't play for me, makes 80 or 90K, and then once I got the cash, I'll flick him up. So we'll just have to see. Hooker's just one of those positions.
First two rounds last year before, I believe it was a broken jaw. Played round one, started, played 40 minutes for 30 points. You look at that and go, ugh. But round two, 55 minutes for 56 points, 34 in base, had a try assist there. I mean, you take out the try assist and you're sitting on about 35 again. Like, how much money is there to be made? But look, it's a very, very good Raiders four pack. There's no reason why you potentially can't, you know, whether it's a try himself or an assist.
And maybe he averages 40 with the odd assist. He doesn't have to do it every game. So if he bases 30, 35, the odd assist averages 40, he'll make 150-odd K.
It's just cheap.
It's pretty good.
I hate it, but
I'm warming to the idea.
I don't feel good looking at it.
Just because you can save, what, 90-odd K on, say, a Lussick. Because Tommy Starling will come on and probably play four. It could be anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes. We don't know. That's reality.
I'm not saying so, but it could be 20. You don't know with Ricky. He's always a little bit unpredictable. I'm happy to take the punt.
All right. The hooking conundrum, no better this week than it was last week. In fact, it's twice as bad. Boys, moving on to the Doggies. Blake Taffnate, I'll read out the whole back line because it's very relevant. Blake Taff at fullback, Wilson and Adokar on the wings, Kiraz, Stephen Crichton in the centres, and Matty Burton and Drew Hutchinson at 7. I think for starters, you know, talking about the lack of cheapies, Drew Hutchinson, 355K. He was one that I was happy enough to own, but I was also very happy to get rid of him if better and certainly cheaper cheapies showed up in that sub 300 category. I think you've kind of just got to pick him now, don't you, boys?
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
short and sharp.
Short and sharp. There you go, done. Jacob Kiraz, Spy, you're an owner. Talk to us about him being named at centre, because I'm not an owner. I like him. The fact that he didn't play the trials concerns me in terms of any potentially lingering injuries and what's going on there. I just don't like him at centre. I want him on the wing where he can roam and do what he wants and run around like a headless chook and tackle bust and offload. I don't like him at centre. How do you see it?
You're about to. Three games at centre in his last two seasons. Named at centre. I don't know if maybe he played there afterwards. His base plus power, so I don't know exactly what you call it, but base work with offloads and tackle bust, which is the Carras model. He averaged 65 with one line break, no tries, no try assists, no line break assists.
Oh.
And it was all in tackles, tackle bust, offloads and runs for 65. Jeez. So I'm like, thank you very much. Hopefully some attacking stats come. Maybe he shifts to the wing and I've already got him and then I'm cheering. I think he's a weapon. Am I scared of him coming off no trials, maybe carrying some injuries? For sure. What makes me happier about owning him is if he does get busted or not named or he's just not quite hitting the straps health-wise, I can go down to any centre basically in the comp underneath.
I wouldn't let that bit bother you. Cameron wouldn't be running
without it.
Especially because you've got so many options, don't you?
Yeah, like I'm pretty confident he's ready to go. Otherwise, I think he almost could have played the trial if it was a game. Yeah. So I think I wouldn't – we're not rushing him back, by the way. He might get fitter, but he's
with Sherry and Tracy there, no need to rush him back, obviously. So it's
two games last year he played in the centres were after he'd come back from injury and he was busting through and still averaged 65 base. I just love him, and I almost feel like barring injury or going off or something, his worst case is averaging that 60, but he's got so much upside.
He's the one that – like, I'm very aware starting with Hamiso Tabuai-Fido that – there could be a 40-point average. There could be less with Hammer after two rounds. I am backing his talent in, his upside, everything about him, picking a fullback at centre wing, supercoach-wise, that is, that he can explode. If he comes in and goes 40-40, he's the same price as Kiraz.
Straight
and
across.
I'm thinking it's a very easy across to Kiraz.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ads in the forward pack. Sammy Hughes named on the bench. It's a four middle forward bench is the concern. Mann, Hughes, Curran, Moran. I still think we're all going to pick him. There's not enough options elsewhere to do it. It does really put a spanner in this idea of, I know I was, pending what the bench makeup was, pending if Sam Hughes started, of running a mid-range front row forward and a Sammy Hughes with him. Hard to see him getting the minutes there. Pauaso Farmasili has been named to start in the front row. Looked pretty damaging in the preseason trials, but minutes will be the concern. Josh Curran on the bench, Jamin Salmon at 13. Man, what a relevant Supercoach pack. What can you tell us? Who are you keen on?
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? There's probably seven or eight guys in that side that you could feasibly start in Supercoach this year. It's crazy.
Desi's got all of them and another two.
Yeah, so there's seven or eight really, and that's not leaving out, like, say, a kick-out who's pickable. But I think at front row, Max King's an option because you know he's going to get minutes. Like, I think anyone would think that.
I think Max King's a great buy.
Yeah, and he's you pretty much know what you're going to get with Max. He's pretty solid, and he's not overly priced. Pauasa, like at the moment in my side, and this is really just as a fan, not as anything, any inside knowledge or anything. I've got Sam Hughes and Pauasa both on my non-playing reserves. I wouldn't start either of them because we just don't know. I mean, Sam Hughes, I printed in the WhatsApp chat. He's played 71 minutes of NRL so far. So we've got to remember that. Like, he hasn't played a lot of footy. He's been great at training. I think it's easy to hear that and go, oh, last year that was Jacob Preston, but it's a very different position.
Gus tweeted about Sam Hughes and the Supercoach world exploded. Because he did the same about Jacob Preston last year.
Yeah, yeah. But look, I think Sam's he's an easy pick in my 25. Do I want to start him? Mm. Let's wait and see. I think we'll see. We'll get a better idea of what minutes Cameron's thinking. Probably take a few weeks to know, really, because with that rotation, it's not obvious. You know, you get injuries in these positions.
It could be minutes there for Sammy. Like, you look at that, Kikau could get spelled by one of the boys under the edge there. Kurt Mann's could play in the middle but could come on, you know, obviously a hooker for Reed.
The four middle bench is a killer for all of that.
But, I mean, if Kurt plays hooker...
makes you wonder if you were... Yeah.
Curran could spell Kikau on the edge. Like, Kikau might not play 80. That leaves two spots open for the middle. So there is possible, but, yeah, I wouldn't...
I keep saying Kikau won't play 80. Like, again, this is nothing from inside knowledge of the box.
But he could.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Kikau can play 80 minutes.
If I'm coaching that side, I'm playing... He looked so fit in the trials.
Yeah, like I said, that's not from talking to Cameron knowing what he's going to do, because I deliberately don't do that, because that's it's not my role. But, you know, why wouldn't Kikau play 80 minutes?
Actually still think Kikau's a great mid-range 2F buy. He'll be relying on attacking stats. I've gone cold on him because I'm not convinced the Doggies will be able to use him effectively enough. Mm. But he could explode there if he can find some attacking stats. But it's just much like the Roosters bench, like the Bunnies bench, and having the four forwards there to a lesser degree, the Roosters, they're probably more their depth. I avoided a lot of those forwards because I want to see how it played out. It's pretty similar with the Doggies. I'll start Sam Hughes, Spy. I know Josh Curran, you may have mentioned last week that even if off the bench, you'd be tempted to buy him. I know Guru said similar. I'm not touching coming off the bench with that four forward bench. Farmacilli, maybe, if there's no one better. Still need to do a lot of digging, but who are you keen on in this pack? And talk to us about Josh Curran.
So Curran I don't mind still. I've had to drop him down to Joey Chan just because I need money for cheapies. That's no shock. It was always probably going to happen, but that's probably where it's going to happen at the moment. I still think Curran could still come on off the bench, 15, 20 in and play the game out, be really busy, maybe work up to an 80-minute roll. So I think he's still not a bad buy. But
there's a lot of ifs and buts and maybes.
There's risk there.
He looked very good in the trial. There's risk. And then he was throwing up at half time, so they didn't push him into the second half. But I thought he looked good and he looked like he was going to be a super coach.
I got good vibes about Curran, but he's not in my side to start.
I did as well.
Even now. Yeah. I still think I've got good vibes there.
Put this way, I'll have to suss flexibility and when I can make trades and how the team's set up, but if he does end up starting a game day, he's straight into my team.
I've got to figure out how to do it.
Is this at that funny price range, isn't it, where you can bring in Lane or Lukey or one of those guys
who
are starting
good ones.
And you know they're starting?
Yeah.
That's it. So I do have a few other...
If starting, I think he would be a must.
Yeah.
You know, he could end up playing...
I've got a few other doggies though, boys. I've got Sammy Hughes... Pouassa, as you mentioned, in the front row there, just because of a lack of options. So hopefully he can punch out 30 points or something, make a little bit of cash. I've also got Kiraz, as discussed, Drewy Hutchinson and Jamin Salmon. That's the other chat. In the centres, there's no centres available. So dual position, 313 or 317. At the moment, I've plugged him because there is no one else.
Mm. I'm calling trap.
Wouldn't shock me.
And I'll tell you, there's a few reasons why. Four forward bench. At any minute, Kurt Mann or Josh Curran could be the starting 13. Let's say it was it wouldn't worry me with Josh Curran because he's such a ball-running lock. Jamin Salmon has been picked there as an out-and-out ball-playing lock. I actually don't mind that from the Dogs. I thought he looked good there in the trials, but I can't see him getting more than, 50 minutes there, maybe 60 at a pinch with the bench that they've picked. Even then, I just think he's going to be distributing so much. He might have a handful of runs, make a few tackles. I just don't see him having the output to score well enough there, barring if he can jag a couple of try assists or something.
I might actually swap him to Savage. Just have a look. 30K more, starting wing spot, try scorer. It's a tricky little position there. I'll bench centres at the moment, but I might go Savage over him.
Like the Salmon play. Could be wrong, and as always, if in 2 weeks' time he's brainy and playing big minutes, sweet. He's easy to get in at 313K. Boys, let's move on to the Gold Coast Titans. Keanu Keeney named at fullback with Jaden Campbell out injured. AJ Brimson, as expected, playing at centre. Kieran Foran returns after not playing the trial games. With Dave Fafita out, Cleese Haas has been named on the edge. Keenan Palacia, the bloke we spoke about a little earlier. 365K to start the season. Again, it's a four-forward bench, but one of those forwards is Sam Verrill. So Sam Verrill and Chris Randall probably interchange from each other. Randall starting can play as like a 13 and play as just another middle forward. Liu, Clark, Joel have probably not massive minutes between them. I actually don't mind the Palacia play. So from last season, 17 games for the Broncos. He averaged 41 minutes per game for 36 points per game average. PPM's not terrific. He's far from a great option.
It's not terrible, though. It's not 0.9.
It's not terrible. Yeah. But as a starting lock, if he can jag 50 to 55 minutes.
Is he a starting front rower?
Well, he is for me.
Yeah,
he is for me.
Yep.
And as I said, if it falls flat on its face, he becomes Terrell May in a week or two.
My thing is I had either Cotter or Maxi King, but just with a few shuffles today around cheapies, I probably need to downgrade there. So, I've gone to Flegler. But
how much is a Flegler?
475. I can take another 100 and a bit to go to Palisade and free up a fair bit of cash. Could be an option. Interesting.
Tough that second.
That's so tough. That's and I just feel like with Palacia, if he can get the minutes there, he could be that 45 to 50 averaging middle for us until we can upgrade him to one of the guns like Payne Haas or whoever it might be and just do that job.
If you could average 50, you're cheering.
Absolutely, you would.
Honestly. How much is Cleese Haas?
Cleese.
He's starting second.
He loses his spot though for Fafita, so.
Yeah, no, but he's just like, he can't be that cheap, huh?
He came in and went well last year. He's 356K to start the season.
How many minutes do we think Cleese Haas will get?
With this bench named, there's no edges there. Probably 80.
Yeah.
Fafita could be back any week, though.
He could.
And they've got a bye coming up. Okay. They have a bye, which is worth noting. And for front rower, Titans have a bye, I think, around 2 or 3. He's going to be stuck there as well.
Oh, God damn it, Spy!
Bugger.
So for people who listen to the first half of this podcast, pays to listen to the whole thing.
Just with that weak bench in the front row, that hurts a bit.
That's going to be very relevant. Or he could be turning into Terrell May very quickly.
Do you reckon I need
look,
us?
Look,
yeah, round 2 by.
That's the thing. Start with him round 1. If he goes great and gets good minutes, sweet, I'll hold him through the bye. If he doesn't, Terrell May round 2.
Do you think, given I've got Terrell in the front row, do you think I need a second front row or just leave it blank?
Oh, my God. Let's move on.
Don't burn me this week, please, next week.
At the St. George Illawarra Dragons, Tyrell Sloan named at fullback. Zach Lomax on the wing. No surprises there, boys. In the pack, very uninteresting Supercoach team. Tom Eisenhuth named on the edge will catch a few eyes, but Luciano Leilua is suspended for the first few rounds, so it's two or three weeks. I'd imagine he comes straight in on that edge. Four forward bench named Connor Molhuizen is a hooker, number 9, so it's a 4-4 bench, but a number 9 there. Jacob Little still in a bit of doubt as well, as I believe Blake Laurie. Viliami Fafita. Ads, let's talk about him. He starts at bottom dollar to start this season. A very popular cheapie. Leilua to come back in. Is he one that you can just plug there as your fourth front row forward to spend cash elsewhere?
I mean, he could be, right? We're just guessing. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get versus, say, a Poasa Famasili at the Bulldogs. So, yeah, if you know something.
I couldn't be less keen on him, mate. I'm just one of those 15 minutes a game.
Yeah, at least Poasa is named as a starting front rower, and you're like, he's going to play, whereas Fafita could be out next week.
I would literally rather have someone not playing with dual position just to flick him around. Yeah. That's more beneficial, but yeah.
Yeah, no. Thoughts are the same. Into the final game of the week. The
good
Dolphins
game.
Versus the Cowboys. Great game. Hammer's going to score about 5 tries. Saw a post in the WhatsApp group today, and there was an article of Hammer saying that he wants to try and to replicate and improve his ball playing, and he's shaping it off Scott Drinkwater. So we'll peg Hammer down for a 90-plus average this
24
season.
24 try assists before Origin.
Oh, my goodness. Tessie New has beaten out Jake Averillo for that centre spot. Boys, Jack Bostock has been named to start on the wing, a bloke that I potted early in the preseason, and I said I didn't like his output in limited sample size so far this season. I did preface that and say that if there was a lack of CT Dub cheapies to start the year, we might have to pay up for him at 314K. We might have to pay up for him at 314K.
Yeah, he wasn't. I was a bit like you. I wasn't a guy I was really thinking was going to end up on my side, but he ends up being one of the cheapies in the position.
Like decent job security.
Yeah,
I'm suddenly super keen on him. He looks real good.
Who else?
It's all relative, eh?
Jake Averillo is signed from the Doggies on good coin. Tessie New can easily play on the wing. He's out and out won that spot.
You copped a lot of hate from that. Anything to say to the haters online?
I did get a roast when I said Averillo was looking like missing that team. So all that the bad mouthing of the Dolphins last year, I got this one right. So
evening out.
It's got nothing to do with Dolphins fans, does it? Anyway, we're square. I'll actually be in Redcliffe for this game. Next week, Matty.
Week after.
Next week, we've got a bloke show there. So we'll be doing it from Redcliffe Leagues Club.
Yep.
We'll be... Oh, what a day that's going to be.
How good.
And we're going off a day early, so...
Yeah.
Which wasn't necessary, but it definitely was.
It was so necessary.
But yeah, whether or not I'll actually be allowed into Dolphins headquarters, probably unlikely. Boys, a bit going on in the forward pack as well. So, Tommy Flegler, Bromwich starting. Ray Stone has been named at 13. Lemuelu on the edge. Obviously, Tommy Gilbert is out for the season with that unfortunate injury. Kenny Bromwich has been moved to the bench. It is a four forward bench. It is a four middle forward bench. Max Plath, he spent time at number 9 last year, didn't he, Spy? He was between sort of very limited
I think he
time.
Did, and also Kenny can play an edge, can't he? So it could end up a two middle bench. You just sort of, you don't quite know.
Depending on how they want to go about it, yeah.
If you're a Flegler owner, you could look at it and say there are minutes there for Flegler depending how they do it. Again, it's around
you're being very glass... you're being glass half full based on the bench and the way you're thinking, but at the same time, Flegler's there, marquee front row sign. He'll play decent, get time still. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Tommy Flegler, Ad?
To be honest, I haven't really looked at him.
I said a few weeks ago I wasn't keen.
Yeah.
Not super unkeen, but I was like, not sure how he improves. Now, out of a bit of necessity, he's currently in my side. With a hope that, A, it's just some blokes this year I just want to do a job and just maintain their value, score me some decent points to allow my guns elsewhere to score. But if Flegler can average, 53 or 4, make me 60K and score well, that's lovely. So getting a bit keen on him.
Round 3?
Round 3. Oh, yeah, the front row again. Gone.
when I said just before that teams dropped at 4 o'clock, we started recording at 5, I was putting an article out, social media posts out. There's a lot of critical thinking that has to be done around this.
We were swinging sides and changing things because I did have Cotter. An hour ago. So.
It's 1 week. Like, again, I keep saying it might cost you 20 points to get the team that you want. I don't think it's not an impact me with Palace.
It's not a make or break. It's just certainly one to consider.
Yeah.
I think it just depends on you two. Like, say if you've got Sam Hughes and Pouassa, I have, at least after the first week, you have an idea of how many minutes they play. Whereas remember last year, a bunch of us started with Franklin Pelé on the bench. And you see him get 7 minutes. You're like, well, I wouldn't want to start him. So you just wouldn't want to be stuck with two guys on the bench that you think might get minutes.
Who tipped us into Pele last year for the Dogs? God.
Certain Doggies board member, maybe? I don't know who it was. Can't remember. Might have been Desi Creek.
Had to be Desi.
Also tipped you into Preston.
Oh. Yeah.
You didn't even let me say it.
I was a bit of credit.
I was going to say that after, but yes, you did tip us into Preston. So thank you,
We found Jacob Preston with data, by the way. But anyway, story for another day.
Love that.
Shout out Scotty Woodward.
Yeah.
Good man.
Scotty Woodward and Quantium. That was a good one.
Yeah. At the... Cowboys. Let's just touch on it quickly because Matty actually brought it up to me at the start of the show, before the show. He said, start of the preseason, started recording podcasts, everyone was keen on Jeremy Marshall King. All of a sudden, no one has Jeremy Marshall King. And he said, what's changed? I said, well, for me, not a heap. I just saw Appy goal kicking. But even before that, it was actually in my first drafted side. And then I found a bit of money and I moved up to Harry Grant. Spy, you were super keen on him, mate. And now you're paying... You've saved a bit of money on him with Reece Robson, but...
100K in short makes a big difference to my lineup. I need that 100K. Combined with that round 3 buy, it was enough just to say the reason I want Reece Robson is, speaking of doing a job... Reece Robson. it's not Friday night at 6:14 yet. Reesey, is I need someone to do a job for 4 or 5 weeks for me without a bye, score well. He plays his 80. If he makes me money, great. But if he just holds his average, scores 55, I can then pick the best hooker going around after a month and weigh it up. That was my issue around Jeremy Marshall. If he didn't have the bye early, I would be really keen to pump. But I might go Robson to JMK after that bye. We'll see how he's looking. And I get a free look at the Dolphins this year because
year two. Yeah, and you want to
Max yep, I don't know what they're going to be doing. So that's the answer, Matty, as to a why. But it's more a money thing than anything combined with the bye. Just some variables there that...
The one thing about Robson is that at the start of last year, he was very popular. I know on this podcast, on Beers and Breakevens, we all potted him pretty hard. And we said, he scored a ton of tries that year before. We said, he's not going to replicate that. He's starting overpriced. He scored like 1 or 2 tries last year. He's back to like what his value should be.
Yeah.
But now we know that he's got the potential to score
tries.
He's
capable of exploding.
I get the play. I don't mind it. Yeah. Why him? Is it purely the round one buy? Why him over Appy?
If Appy was playing, I wouldn't say I'd be more than happy to go in, but I'd be happy to have a crack for sure.
Lucky last at the Cowboys. Zach Labor gets the nod at centre over Viliami Vailea from the Warriors last season. And just on the bench, I know a lot of people keen on Helam Lukey, myself being one of those guys. Jake Granville, Griffin Neem, Sam McIntyre, Kuli Kefu, Fini Furiaki. Thomas McKayley misses out. We didn't really allude to it too early in the show and about all this front row forward headaches. I think we all had McKayley plugged in there. Misses out entirely. I suspect Fini Fuiaki, some interesting stuff here. Because Fini Fuiaki, I suspect, will spell Helam Lukey for 20 minutes.
Yep.
Probably 20 minutes. He can also play in the middle a little bit as well, but I would see that's how it's going. Fire, there's minutes to go around some. I can't wait to see how this plays out. Because Jake Granville, does he come on and spell Reece Robson at number 9? We know Granville can play anywhere. Sam McIntyre, you know, a bit of a smoky there. Griffin Neem, they'll have all right minutes, but there's really good minutes to go around here somewhere. I don't know if that's going to be Cotter getting a heap more, Taumalolo.
Griffin Neem's a good player.
Griffin Neem I know Walsh on his rap as well, big name fan, and said that maybe he's one to pick up the slack from the Cohen Hess injury. How do you see all this playing out, Ads, or probably more to the question, who catches all your eye? Because you don't mind a few Cowboys.
To be honest, I've got no idea really how it plays out. I've got Taumalolo and Lukey in my side. I had Cotter, but I've ended up downgrading him at the moment. But, yeah, the minutes are a worry with, like, that Fini Fuiaki is a very good player on the bench. So you kind of think you'd... If I was the Cowboys, I'd be wanting to find ways to get more than 20 minutes out of him. But I don't know. I think it's one of those ones you wish you knew. Because Taumalolo, I kind of like the idea of Taumalolo as a value pick that's just got upside.
I love this bench for Taumalolo and Cotter for that matter.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know McKayley is a great thing for Taumalolo and Cotter. So, yeah, I've got Taumalolo in there. And at the moment, I've got Lukey in front of Josh Curran. But, I don't know, might change that.
Spy, I've got Taumalolo and I've got Lukey. Lukey won't be going anywhere. Taumalolo is one of the ones where I thought trials, he looked okay. I wasn't keen on him, and then the Hess injury happened and I sort of suspected maybe to be a bench a little bit like this. I thought that I had the same bench except I had McKayley over Sam McIntyre. So it's not changed enormously. But Taumalolo is one of them gut feels where I'm going... He's available in the front row forward. If it was in the second row, I wouldn't touch him with a 50-foot pole. But this is a bloke who had next to no attacking stats last year. 2 years ago for the Cowboys, when they were within a whisker of playing a grand final, he was playing bigger minutes. Last year, his minutes were reduced and they missed the 8. I just sit there and wonder... Does he play a few extra minutes this year off the back of that knowledge, off the back of Hess being injured? So he averaged 43 points in 49 minutes last year with some early season injuries. 2022, 55 points in 58 minutes. The year before, 59 points in 55 minutes. We know he can bust a tackle. We know he can offload. We know he's capable of jagging some attacking stats. 439K, dual position, can plug that front row spot. I'm not confident on it, but gee, I see some upside.
I'm so torn on this, boys. I at the moment, my side looks like a Max King or Cotter, but I can go 100K, which could be pretty handy to free up elsewhere. Dutamalolo. My issue is I watched one run of him off the kickoff in the trial and put a line straight through him. But you need to remind yourself, you're not buying Tamalolo at 600-700K. Mm. You're buying at 430.
So and you're also, like, I'm pretty sure last year was only available in 2RF. You're not buying him in 2RF. You're buying him front row.
Front row.
Unless you're the Cowboys. You're buying him for a million.
That's it. So
great player, but
I'm really torn on it of whether I just take one of the Cotter or King types or just go down to Tamalolo and see what happens, because that 100K can be pretty well spent elsewhere. I'll give you the tip.
He could easily average his 43. You're going to make no money. But,
and again, that's not a dagger either.
It's not.
Just
if
like,
he holds value and averages 43, yeah.
It's a bit disappointing, but it's not the end of the world.
Oh. I think you're right. We've just got to remember we're paying for the Taumalolo of 2024, yeah. And he's priced accordingly. Like, so you think, is there upside? I just think surely there's upside. Like, surely they've got him fired up. He's still got, I think, 4 years to run his deal, doesn't he?
He's not old.
He's not old. He's like 30, and that's the thing.
I'd be wanting to get value out of him somehow.
I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but there is a world where he comes out and he plays 55 minutes. He's just fully fit, fired up. There's talk of, you know, him leaving the club and that, and he goes, no, screw you. I'm still one of those forwards in the game.
Mm.
And he busts his five tackles a game. He has his three offloads and he jags some attack. And he averages 65 to 70. Again, not saying it's going to happen, but of all the mid-range upside players, give or take Terrell May now, who was incredible, there's upside there, and I love that in a front rower.
Mm. Yeah, and the injury to Hess, it all helps. Leave this one with me, boys, because I'm actually really settled this year, which is very relaxing and nice, but
not for long
that now. Spot, that spot well, yeah, is not. That. That's what's not.
Boys, let's talk a few sit v starts from the sides this week. I'm sure we're all playing Taylan May there. Drew Hutchinson, going to be a popular one. Play or sit in your team, Ads?
Ooh, tough one, huh? Because it depends on who your other three are.
Mm.
I'm tossing up between him and the Warriors fullback.
Yeah, Torpeaky.
Torpeaky, so tossing up. I'll probably go with the starting fullback.
Yeah.
But obviously I would love Drew to come out and put on a ton. But to be honest, if he does that, I'll be pretty happy
without
a super coach. So I, yeah.
Spite?
I'm going to play both those boys, Adzi.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Karaz.
Yeah, man.
Nice. Good.
I am leaning towards playing Torpeaky over Hutchinson for the time being. Ethan Strange. Start, sit.
Sit for me, and I'll just wait. And if he goes well, then he's an option going forward. I haven't watched enough of him to know what his base would be like. So it's just an easy sit for me, but
worth noting as well with Strange, I think the spot to pick him, fair to say, is 5'8 reserve, not in the CT dub. We're loaded with CT dub cheapies, but there's no one at 5'8. So it's got to be there, yeah.
I feel good with him at 5'8.
Yeah.
He's a good backup.
He's a bloke who's a strong ball runner. I think he'll bust tackles, could jag some attacking stats. I don't want to do it from round one, but he could be a playable sort of option down the track.
If he shows what we know he's capable of, obviously he's quite young, but yeah, he's got the capabilities there to really do some damage.
So if we all start with Jack Bostock, Spy, we're looking at sitting him?
Sitting, but like if you have to play him, it's not the worst thing you could do.
I'm absolutely capable of a try. Because they go so much to Jermaine Asako's edge, so I don't even want to think about playing Jack Bostock, and I'm just hoping he can jag some early season tries to generate some cash for us. I've already sat Jesse Arthurs out of my side. Just going through a few of the key names here. Joe Chan. He's going to be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So much of a gamble there. As I said, the way that team's been named, I don't think Joe Chan, that's beyond him. I do need to do some more digging. I'll do this before beers and break evens tomorrow, but around his sort of numbers last year and his minutes. What are your thoughts there, Ads?
I'm currently starting him, but I don't know much about him, so I'll need to find out what sort of player he is and so on. Because, you know, again, do you start Joe Chan or do you start a Bostock or a Hutchison or a Tuipiki? So at the moment I've got him in my 17.
Spite?
But
yeah, I've got Hutchinson and Tuipiki ahead of him, but I mean, that's not...
I would play Chan over Hutchinson.
Mm?
Hopefully a big minute edge back rower. Doggies...
I just like that Hutch is set for 80.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in doubt, I like the 80-minute play.
Well, he could have three or four tries this.
He's like, we know what he can do. He scored a ton, like four games back for a struggling Chooks. So
was that centre? Was he in halves or at centre?
He played halves that game.
I've just gone to a random game from last year. Brisbane Tigers, Central Queensland Capras, and third minute Joe Chan try.
Is it a sign?
That is an absolute sign. How did you go in this game, Joey? Ooh, 28 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Started and played 28 minutes. Uh-oh. Had to have been injured.
You'd be happy with the try and the 28 minutes.
We've had a couple of signs.
I went to his full profile.
Work to be done.
Yeah, work to be done. I went to his full profile and it didn't give me a lot for him. Anyway, I'll have a look at that for tomorrow.
Yeah, get back to us.
Boys, sit V start. Who else to touch on here? Is there Morgan Smithies, sit start.
I'm starting him.
Yeah, I'm playing him.
I'm also playing him. Beau Fermor.
Don't have him.
Don't have him.
But I could see why. And
you'd don't have him, but would play him.
If you play,
you both don't have him.
No. Don't need him.
Why not?
That's a good side.
I'm trying to work out who I've got.
My back row is Sean Lane, Lukey, Pierre Kura, Smithies, Chan, and then I've just got a cheapie as a six.
Oh, I've got Jamin Salmon.
Yeah.
You got Beau Fermor.
Who's your cheapie?
Undecided. That's my spot. I haven't decided yet.
Without telling you to copy my team spy, and it'll probably lead to plenty of success for you, find a way to go Jed Cartwright to Beau Fermor.
That's a lot of money.
You can save some at what's Fermor front row.
It's just such a good position, those mid-range 2RFs.
Yeah.
I'd need like 250K. Mm. A lot of coin. We'll see.
The more I look at it, because I have loaded up my 2RF, I will not be playing Joe Chan. I'll play Fermor and Smithies, Lukey and Lane and Pekur, all my starters. And then at the front row, look, I'm partnering Taumalolo with Palacea as it stands. Bit of work to do there, but I reckon that's what we'll go. You're similar at the moment.
Yep.
And Spy, front row for you.
But the buy in round two is bothering me.
Yeah, it's a spanner. Huge spanner.
But I guess if we then think Taylor May, we'll just need Terrell May. We'll need to make sure we've got enough cash next week to do it.
I just think if Palacea goes well this week and he warrants holding, it's a good headache to have. You go, okay, damn, I've got to hold him and find another method to get to Terrell by, say, round three. But yeah, good headache to have.
Mm. Front row is Cotter or King to be decided. But as I said, there is the option there to drop right down to a Taumalolo and free up that 100K. And then the Bulldogs boys on my bench. But honestly, as you said, we put this together 5 minutes for podcast because we just got teams, so a bit of work to do and have a look at. Oh, there's only one spot that really worries me. Yeah, it's probably that 6 second row spot. So we'll see what we can do, but have with the rest.
His head ads.
Yeah. His head. The old me would have panicked, but I'll just leave it.
Boys, skippers. I don't know if you did anything last weekend, Ads, VCCs.
I VC'd Turbo because at that point I didn't have Ponga in my side. I've now got Ponga, so he's stuck. That's okay. Nathan Cleary, just to me, is a captaincy option no matter who he plays.
Yeah.
So I'm okay having Cleary as captain.
Yeah. Spite?
I VC'd Terrell May. I just wanted to show him that I've got his back this year and I'm playing him big minutes. And more so, I was captaining Pogba, so I had no one. I was just like, what if he scores three tries?
I was in the same boat, mate. I had literally very few people to put the VC on. I actually went Brendan Piakoura.
Nice.
For four.
Yeah, it's a culture thing for me.
And
this
the reason
year.
I was actually speaking to our weekly rap man, Nick Moon, over the weekend, and he said, VC Tommy Turbo for his upside. And then if you're keen on Api Korosau, it's an easy loop to Tommy Trbojevic, then you can play, do the Api Korosau play, no stress if he goes well. And I was about to do that and I went, I hate to say it because it's the Raiders, I wanted Ponga against the Raiders, I really did. Yep. So I held off and I'm going to captain Kalen Ponga.
Good logic though from Mooney.
It was.
Also, I can finally say this, but shout out to Kuma, how good.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, you love can it. Now, mate. Wait off the shoulders. Matty, captains for you this week, mate. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I already captained Brandon Smith, because my captain is Ponga.
Vice captain Brandon Smith, mate.
What did I say?
You said captain.
Sorry, vice captain Brandon Smith, and I'm captaining Kalen Ponga.
I was going to say that might be the last time we throw to Matty's. Yeah. Skip for advice.
Oh, Matty, that credibility you'd worked on for so hard over the last two years out the window round one.
Hey, at least you've picked a side this week. That's a good start, mate.
He's in for the long haul this year, Matty. Boys, a few listener questions before we wrap the show up, and it is one on questions off the bat from T Dubs, not me. Trell is my vice captain. Do I captain Grant / Cleary or leave it? So 110 points from the Trell ads. Would you be taking that AE and going trail or going elsewhere?
I would normally say never. Like, I just think the VC loop is probably the most overrated and over talked about thing at this time of the year. The only exception is that Coruscant example you gave there. Like, if you've got if you've got Appy as your starting hooker, and then suddenly that's the way to you're going to get a pretty average hooker score anyway, then maybe. But so T Dubs, if you've got Coruscant, then maybe I'd take the 110 because I don't think there's a standout there.
No. Like, and the reality,
obviously, you can't captain Ponga if he's got
The reality is this week. Honestly, the first 5-6 weeks, you're probably going to have a 15 on your bench somewhere, maybe a 20 best case for your age. So you know it's going to be a low spot.
Yeah.
If you take your, if you assume you get a 15 and you give up a 45, maybe 30 points, it works out half okay. The issue is, and the reason I hate doing it, say I use that example and I drop Tua Peaky out of my lineup and he scores 80, then all of a sudden you've got an 80 instead of a 10 instead of an 80. That kills you. That stuff. So now I'd be probably backing in Cleary or Holmes.
If only there was some sort of calculator you could use to help make this decision.
It's a good question. Where would said calculator be found?
Well, Spy, scplayable.com.au. This was not a setup, I promise. We have a vice captaincy calculator on our website. You can punch in the numbers and it gives you a more of an informed decision, and it gives you the scores based on like a few little predictions that you plug in of what, how many points you get for the loop if you did it or if you don't. So it's a great little tool. So jump on to scplayable.com.au and check that one out. Question from Campbell. Do you get tired carrying Guru every year? The stall is yours this year. Campbell, the question is yes. Yes, I'm getting bags under my eyes carrying Guru. A good note on Guru. He actually, despite being in Vegas at the actual game, he left Xavier Willison in his team. Well, it made me so happy.
It might have worked out for the best for him.
I know, he's arsey, so it'll end up playing this
week, round two, and he's like sorted
or something. But I was, when he sent me through and told me that, I was very, very pleased to hear it.
My daughter Charlotte, who will be listening from Michigan at college, she's got a good sledge with the Guru. I think I mentioned the Guru's name once. She said the self-appointed Guru. he's named himself Guru. When I said the Guru thinks this, and she thought it was a load of crap what he said. So she made a point of saying he did. Branded himself. So
Charlie goes, love it. Cop that Guru. Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, we listened to this on the plane over from America. Love you, Guru. Right now. Next question from Mike Roki. No, it's not, because it was around Kiraz and we spoke about him already. Question from, pull these questions up before the team list came out. So McKaylee one, no good either. Reece Hunt, we've spoken about. Good one from Jared Norris. Had Jackson Bolo, should I trade him down for Tommy Taliau if he takes Saab's spot on the wing? Thought Turbo would be setting him up for days, but another Manly winger for 200k less seems like the better option. Spy, what do you think?
If you've got no trades to make, probably makes sense. The only thing is, Polo will, I mean, he might get dropped or something, but at the moment he's earned the left wing spot. Tommy Taliau could come in for like 3 or 4 games. I'd only do it if you need the cash to make a move elsewhere. I don't know. What do you think? I'm sort of...
Definitely not. Yeah. Like, you want to be left wing.
But what I mean, if you say after this week, gee, I need 200K, that's a little answer there.
Yeah, but I just think Paulo's job security is going to be better. You know, what if Saab does come back around 4 or 5 sort of thing? I think you want the left winger at Manly, not the right winger. It was on a smaller dimensions field in Vegas. It impacted wingers more than anything because they ran out of room. You saw it with the Broncos and like Walsh, you just kept running out of room. Daniel Tupu on an Australian field would have had a hat trick, I reckon. Yeah. They got them and they skinned them. They just ran out of room on the field. So just give him one more week. And if he goes poorly again, scrap him, go down. It also gives you a look at Tommy Taliau if he comes in.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean this week, but yeah.
Yeah, for round
three. Round three if you need it. Like, yeah,
just have another look at him there. Question from Lockie. Thoughts on Phoenix Crossland? This is an interesting one, with Jaden Brayley out and potentially having one of the halves as the 14. As we now know, the teams have come out that way, and Jack Cogg has been named as the 14. Jaden Brayley is dealing with a hamstring complaint. We might not see him for the first few weeks. Even when we do, minutes are probably going to be limited. I actually had a look at him during the week, and I wasn't overly keen, Ads, but we're looking at all these hookers. He's 470K. He averaged 63 minutes per game last season for 46 points per game. Don't love it. Don't hate it.
Well, mate, You are the chairman of the Phoenix Crosslands fan club. So
not
if you're,
only,
if you're not keen.
Not yeah, only yeah. not only as a lookalike, but as an one of the earliest owners of him last year.
Yeah.
But like starting hooker, 470K, probably gets pretty good minutes.
Can I tell you a story? I was on the ground last year after the Newcastle game and I walked past him. I thought, God, it looks like Tim. I wanted to go take a photo as a joke, but the Bulldogs had just been smoked by Newcastle. So the last thing I was going to do was go up and have a photo with one of the Newcastle players. But because I thought it wouldn't have been so funny. But yeah, so look, you're the chairman of the fan club. And if you're not keen, I'm not keen.
My dream is to get myself, Phoenix, and Zach Hostak in the same room. Get a photo together.
She'd be good.
One day. Spy, Crossland?
No, I think he might just do about his average. So not going to kill you, but.
He had
good a player, with good, Brayley Dew back as well. Nah.
Good player. He had a lot of attack last year, and I just think there's probably better options. But it wouldn't shock me. Like with the whole priest, he sort of was a makeshift hooker last year when Brayley got injured. He has a full season of hooker behind him, pre-season behind him. Could be one of the big improvers there, but yeah.
Again. I'm surprised the Knights haven't moved Brayley on. Like I would have thought there's a couple of clubs who need a hooker.
Now that Crossland's fired.
Like, yeah, I would have thought, say, the Dragons or whoever might have made a play for Brayley because they're both Brayley's a first grade hooker,
yeah,
clearly. But Crossland was so good last year. I don't know how you could drop him from that side.
They were fine.
He was part of that charge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, boys, we'll a rogue one to finish on. Question from Shandy: what's a typical breakfast for Timmy the Tin Man look like, fellas? Monday to Friday, body is a temple. Got to, you know, when you carry on a bit on the weekend, you got to look after yourself. So I'm all about the smoothies. Berries, bananas, some oats, you know, a bit of mango, whatever you can find to get in there. Nice and healthy, a bit of spinach if you're feeling really healthy. And then that just sets the platform to go big on the weekend. The biggest batch of bacon and eggs I can find Saturday morning, Sunday morning. That's where I go with Spy. What do you kick the day off with?
I like your movie shout, smoothie shout. I'm absolutely done, boys.
It's been a big show.
Veggie on toast, love it. Peanut butter on its day. Weet-Bix on occasions, but what I typically do, especially on a weekend, sometimes I'll just push through the morning because I don't get that hungry after a big night. I'll just go straight for like an 11 a.m. burger and just roll into a couple of lunches. That's always good. But yeah, veggie on toast is the absolute staple.
Yeah,
love it.
Ad, you'd be a weird jam on toast kind of guy.
Would I? Mate, yeah. Just because we can't all do the big buffet breakfast like you.
Mate,
to be honest, I skip breakfast most days actually.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's Weet-Bix or veggie on toast.
Cheapies all around.
Yeah. Cheapies all around, but yeah.
Boys, let's wrap that up for a Monster Team List Tuesday preview. Next time we're here chatting, we'll have a round in the bag. We'll have rankings. We'll have all that good stuff. Spy, thank you, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Ad, thanks for coming in. Busy man these days, even more so than normal. So good to have you along.
No problems. Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Matty, strong over there.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.